the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus led them out to Galilee, to the high mountain, he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over and over again, you hear these words, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The Blessed Trinity, one God in three persons. The mystery and the truth the Church proclaims for all the ages. As the banner here says, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father. Three distinct persons in the Trinity. The Church over the years has used many symbols to at least illustrate this. For instance, 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Or you have one apple, and it's got the core, and it's got the flesh, and it's got the skin, but it's one apple. You can have water, H2O. It can be liquid, solid, or gas, but it's water. You can have one sprout of a shamrock, but it has three leaves on it. You can take the C chord that you play on your guitar, and the one chord has a C and an E and a G in it, but it's one chord. These are just trying to describe what it is we're saying, that there is only one God in three persons. And this one God, each and every person has distinct work they do on our behalf. And so, the Trinity is not some obscure doctrine, but it's the stuff of our everyday Christian life. Now, one of my heroes is Athanasius. He was a young pastor in his 30s. And in 325 AD, he took on a heretic named Arius, who was teaching that Jesus was a creature, that Jesus was not God along with the Father. Athanasius had guts. And he stood up to Arius. And in 325, when the Nicene Creed came forward, he held to the scriptural teaching that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and that the Son became flesh, but is equally God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Athanasian Creed, which we read and confessed today, and we do once a year, is named in his honor. And before the Creed, you notice there's an explanation of the Creed and its history, which I encourage you to read at some point, about this great bishop, Athanasius. This doctrine of the Trinity is right woven into the Great Commission, which is the mission work of the Church, baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Making disciples is the unique mission of the Church. The mission of the Church is not politics, not philosophy, not poetry. This is not a social club. We don't promote prosperity, health, wealth, and name it and claim it theology. We proclaim Christ and Him crucified, and we make disciples of all nations by doing what Christ said, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching everything He's commanded in us, and observing these things. So on this annual Trinity Sunday, as we rejoice in this one God in three persons, let us consider how intimately involved all three persons are in your life. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has the 12 disciples in Galilee at a mountain to which he had directed them. They see him. They see Jesus' resurrected body. They see the marks where he had died for them. But he's raised, and they worship. Now, true, some doubted. This shows the truthfulness of the apostles. They weren't afraid to say. Some people doubted because they knew it was true. He was risen from the dead. And now Jesus says something amazing. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. God the Father now gave to the exalted Jesus, who was about to ascend, all authority in heaven and on earth. This is why when we go on our way to make disciples of all nations, in our daily vocation and calling, we go everywhere in all the nations, baptizing in this triune name, teaching and observing the words of Christ. Going and making disciples is what the church does. Everyone is here today because someone brought the gospel to you, or was used by God to bring the gospel to you. A parent, a grandparent, a friend, maybe just someone that you knew in your community. And every Christian who is baptized, the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was placed upon your name, your first, middle, and last name. Your name is connected to God's name. And you were given this family name of Christian. And now you are being taught to observe all that Jesus has commanded. You hear sermons, you go to Bible study. Your children are in Sunday school. You read the Bible yourself. You are being taught the words that Christ commanded. And observing these commands, Jesus gives this promise, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The ascended Lord, who sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the God-man, is present both according to his human and divine nature. I am with you always, he says, to the very end of the age. By the work of the Holy Trinity, he is with us always because he is the one in whom we have been justified by his grace, in whom by his blood we are accounted righteous. And God the Father says, you are my adopted children by grace. You're covered with the righteousness of Christ in your baptism. You are my child. And how comforting to know that Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. There are times you feel alone and deserted. There are times that you feel that no one knows who you are or what you are. But Jesus does. Be comforted in the knowledge that he is with you always to the very end of the age, till his glorious return. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon you. Then there's the love of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before there was time, there was God. God's eternal nature, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, simply by speaking the word. Already in the book of Genesis, we see the Trinity. God the Father creates and says, let there be light. The Spirit of God hovers over the waters. And the Bible said it's Jesus is the Word by which he created. All three persons of the Trinity are present at creation. And that six-day creation for creating of the light and the waters of the sky and the oceans and the dry land and the plants and the sun and the moon and the stars and the birds and the fish and the land and the animals, during this six-day creation, God created it and it was very good. Then he made male and female, he says, in our image, in our likeness, to have dominion over the world and to subdue it. It's a plural tense, in our image, in our likeness. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are saying, among themselves, if you will make man male and female in our image. Another reference to the Trinity. When God rested on the seventh day and saw that it was very good, we know that God, what he makes, is good. And he also took time to rest and admire what he had made. You are the proof, the fact that you're sitting here today, of the love of God because he created you. You are part of his good creation. You have the breath of life. He gives you your food, your daily bread, your water and drink. He gives you your family, your daily work. And as he put Adam and Eve in the garden to till it, to work it, in paradise, and walk with them in the cool of the day, God the Father, through his Son Jesus Christ, walks with us in our daily work in the cool of the day, in his holy word and sacrament. And in heaven, we will see God the Father and his Son, and he will walk among us and wipe all the tears from our eyes and lead us to the springs of living water. God the Father, who created you, loves you and sustains you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ saves you. And the communion of the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit The third person of the Holy Trinity always points us to Jesus. The Spirit is doing His work when we're focusing on Christ. The Spirit doesn't want us focusing on the Holy Spirit, but upon Jesus. And that's what Peter said in Acts 2. He pointed to Jesus of Nazareth and said, "You people know here in Jerusalem that He was mighty in work and wonder and sign, and you are witnesses of what He did. You delivered Him up to death and crucified Him, but God raised Him and loosed from Him the pangs of death. God did this through His Son, the Holy One, and exalted Him to the right hand of God." These truths we proclaim week after week as we say the Apostles' Creed when someone is baptized, the Nicene Creed on Communion Sundays, and the Athanasian Creed once a year on Trinity Sunday. And all these proclaim the true faith of Christ who suffered and was crucified and buried and descended and rose and ascended and is returning. The promised Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost enables us to know for certain what we believe so that our heart is glad and our tongue rejoices because we are walking in the paths of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, full of gladness in the presence of the communion of the Holy Spirit. When we come to Holy Communion and receive the Lord's Supper with the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, and when the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart by faith, you have communion with God Himself. You have a peace that only the Holy Spirit can give, that the world does not give. And you have faith that was worked by that Spirit in you. So my friends, in baptism we are united with the triune God. He is as close to us as the water and the word that touches us and the bread and wine that touches us. The gospel of Jesus Christ in His sacrificial death on the cross and His resurrection was done for us. And when we praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was, who is, and who ever shall be, we have the opportunity before our generation with excellence, intelligently and winsomely and courageously proclaiming that there is no other God. Did you realize that the reason whether our cults and false religions is very simple? The reason there are cults like Mormonism and Jehovah Witnesses and Unification Church, the reason there are false religions like Islam and Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, and why Judaism today is also misled because they don't understand who Christ is because two important truths people can't accept. They cannot accept the deity of Christ, and they cannot accept the Trinity. If you cannot accept the Trinity, that there is one God in three persons, and if you cannot believe that Jesus is truly God in human flesh, this is the error of all the cults and the false religions. We Christians admit it's a mystery. But just because it's a mystery doesn't mean it's not true. God's self-revelation is, this is who I am. You don't try to find me. I tell you who I am in my love as your Father and as your Savior, my Son, and in the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. That is why at every step, every part of the divine service, in the invocation, in the threefold Kyrie and Hosannas, in the creeds, in the doxologies at the ends of hymns and prayers, in the sermon, in the Create in Me, in the introits, in the prayers, in the hymns, and finally, in the benediction, the triune name of God is constantly being placed upon us. My friends, the triune name of God is over you. It is in you. It is under you. It surrounds you. It covers you. It sustains you. It comforts you. It is the air that we breathe. May we be courageous, like Pastor Athanasius and the saints for the last 2,000 years, some who have died for this confession. May we ever be true to the confession of one God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. Blessed be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in His love and His grace and His communion with you and me. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May that peace that surpasses our human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.